Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Live from the Pool House. We are live from said pool house. I am one of your hosts. My name is C.L. Foster. I am a podcaster. I am a writer, and I also fell asleep during my ACT and still got a 24. We are joined, as always, with my co-host. Let her introduce herself.
Standardized test dodging Sonya Ballantyne. Yeah, I hate standardized testing.
I we'll get into it, I think, in the episode, but man, standardized testing was my, what's call it, was definitely my jam.
Oh, so we're getting right into it, I think. So, right, this week, we are watching season 2, episode 4, PSAT P-Story, which first aired September 30th, 1991. It was directed by Ellen Falcon and was written by Marcus Jamal Gaines, whose only credit is this episode, as far as I could find. So, so this episode, we gloat better than you. So, we begin this episode with Will attempting to save face after messing up the living room by throwing everything into the backyard. My favorite shot of anything we've done so far is James Avery covered in Will's clothes and a pizza cheese side down on his suit.
Cause it feels so very, like, Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's super fun.
And why does Will have all his clothes down there? That was one of the most confusing parts. I think it's just like to show that he's just being a slob, but like it was just so funny to me because I'm like, why are they there in the first place? I don't know.
Right.
And the pizza part was just cute to me. I just love that one. And why didn't he just shove like the stuff under the couch cushions? That's what I would have done. And just for later.
I don't know. Have you ever done like the thing where you had to like hurry up?
And I just shove things in closets. That's what I do. That's my big one. What's your I hide things in the shower stall. That's what I do.
Closets. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the closets are there for a reason, and no one's really going into a closet. So I always just throw everything in the closet.
Mine's just bathrooms. That's all I do. Bathrooms and doors that they, like, bedrooms is a big one. Like, if someone just can see my living room, I will just shove everything into the bathroom or into the bedroom. That's all I do. I've never had to hide a full pizza, though. Though I did have a friend who, it gets super cold where I am, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but one time I was in his car and found, like, a box of pizza that he had left in there. And I'm like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. But luckily, it froze constantly. But I'm like, dude, you're going to have bugs in this car. It's so gross. Yeah. But I think it was just... this is the start of the season where... this is the start of the show where the episode beginning usually has nothing to do with the rest of the episode. So I really love these little, like, comedy bits. Especially because why wouldn't Jeffrey be the one to turn on the sprinklers?
Right. No, yeah. Normally it would have been Jeffrey, like, getting everything set up. So I'm surprised it wasn't him doing that.
But speaking of Jeffrey...
Speaking of Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey is having tea with one of his snooty butler friends who mentions how bizarre it is that Jeffrey bakes and cleans for the family. It's kind of funny, though, because, like, when we do see other butlers on the show, Jeffrey is often the only black one. And so it just really... I don't know what it is to me, like, because, like, when you think butlers, you do think of, like, old British men, right? And he is often the only, like, we see him throwing a party for his butler friends, I think, like, in another season, but at that party, the maids and the butler are of color, so, like, I think they got around that a little bit in the future.
So. But, I like that. It kind of shows that there's more to this world than what we kind of get from it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I love the little bit of familiarity Will has with the snooty butler and coming in to say hi when he sees them. Like, I just love that little thing because it speaks to a kid of a working class background, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, saying hey to people and, like, saying hi to the janitor, that sort of thing. And so it just speaks to Will as character to me when he's talking to them.
No, and I think that's definitely, like you said, I think that's one of the cool things is Will has never been like, he's not, he, like you said, he doesn't really treat them like, garbage. Like, he makes sure he goes out of their way to be like, no, you're human just like I am.
Or just saying hey and stuff. Yeah, because,
Right.
like, I can never trust anybody who's mean to waiters. Like, I don't
Right.
know if that's a thing you have, but, like, I cannot trust anybody who's mean to janitorial staff or to people that are basically in service positions. Just because, as you know, like, my parents, my dad used to be a janitor, my mom used to clean hotel rooms, so I can never. Like, I, God willing, I will be able to be rich one day, but like, I imagine I will be like the Uncle Phil type rich where I'm like still aware of where I come from. So
Right.
I'm hoping for that anyway. But one of the things I wanted to mention, one of my goals as a kid was getting a portable TV. Even though it would have been a total waste for me because the only channels that were available over the air when I was a kid, there was only three of them, and one of them was CBC, which is like was only a good channel after 8 o'clock when they'd play like Kids in the Hall and stuff.
Right.
And so it was just a status symbol for me that I could pull out at school and be like, oh, I guess I'm gonna watch some TV during my lunch break. But I always wanted one of those portable TVs. Like those
I
really
always,
cute handheld ones. They're so amazing.
yeah, I always like, I always think about them because I remember like being in school, like they would be the things that we would use to, they would use like as like prizes. So like that's always like where I go back and I was like, oh, I definitely want to see more because like that is always super cool.
Were they the ones in color or the ones that were in black and white?
These were the ones that were in black and white.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking now, basically my phone is a portable TV, so I don't know why I'm still clamoring for one that's just a TV, but I would still sell my soul for one.
Right.
Maybe it would still work now, I don't know. Maybe I'll go find one like this when COVID's over and like see if it picks up anything over the air. So we get to the worst part of the episode for me, where they talk about standardized testing. So in this episode, Carlton is preparing for the PSAT and encourages Will to do the same. So you probably know about this, but I had to look this up for our non-American listeners. So the PSATs are a standardized test known as the National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, which is the preliminary to the SAT and often predicts how well you will do on the actual SAT. So, like the only standardized test we had in my province were the provincial exams, and I would always kill it on the English ones. The only test I've ever taken that would probably have been similar to the SAT would probably be the LSAT, which I took to get into law school. So,
Right.
does everybody take these tests or like?
Yeah, usually these things are done as like kind of your barrier to getting to post education. So I took the ACT. So there are two tests, the SAT and the ACT. Now, unlike this episode, I didn't take a pre-SAT. I just decided like I just took the ACT when it was available, but like when I was a freshman, just 'cause like I love computer games and stuff like that. There was like this like computer course, like game course where you can like plug into like the thing and it gives you like an SAT thing. So like I don't know, like for me standardized tests always to me felt like video games. So it never really did like I never really had an issue with standardized testing. Like I was always good at it. It was just like to me it was just natural. Like I could just pick it up like, oh, okay, this is just like a regular ass test, so I'll just do this. And then I don't know, like I said, the PSATs like yeah, the PSATs were it was almost like a step above. But yeah, like the ACT, SAT, usually with a good ACT, SAT along with, good GPA is how you would get into your secondary schools.
That's weird. Yeah, 'cause like or post-secondary you mean, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah, like so it's like to get into universities here, you just have to have the equivalent of high school credits to get into it, which is kind of like detrimental for someone like me who grew up on a reserve with very substandard education. And so I basically had to learn how to write an essay when I got to university. And I was not prepared for certain things, but I ended up having a way better time at university just because I was taking courses I actually liked. Because in high school here, you can take whatever you want, but on high schools on the reserve, they only give you the courses you need to graduate. So, like, anything extra is just cake, basically. Right. And I used to hate standardized tests. I think we had them in grade 12, which is our, like, senior year, and grade 9, which would be our freshman year. I shouldn't have looked it up for this episode. But, yeah, like, it's just to... I only ever saw them as, like, bragging rights for certain parts of the province. Because, like, the area where I was from, everybody did poorly on those exams. Like, I remember once we were preparing for the math one, and a teacher actually told us when we were, like, horsing around, he actually said, "I don't know why I'm bothering. It's not like you guys are going to pass this test anyway."
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and so, like, I always hated standardized testing. I did work in the office where they printed them, and so I was always, every time a cold chill will go up my spine every time I had to go into that room where the tests were. Because I'm like, ooh, it was like haunted. You have to burn some sage to go through there. So, but let me look at provincial testing. But what do you get? What's the score you get? What exactly do you score out of on those tests?
Sure. So, like, so the ACT, it's like, so that's the SAT, which is one they're doing. There's, like, a written, verbal, and then there's a, like, there's a verbal, like, you, like, written stuff, and then there's, like, the analytical, like, your math part. And I think, like, with the SAT, the max you can get is a 1600. With the ACT, which is what I took, there's four sections to it. So I have more of a history with the ACT. Because usually more schools in the South take the ACT testing, but it is a math, science, English, and I think history part with it. Now, with mine, I did really good on the science and English part. I actually got 28 on science, which is pretty good. The only reason why I ended up with a 23, which is a pretty good score, is I literally fell asleep during the test.
Which part?
The math part.
Oh, the math part?
The math part,
how did you fall asleep? Those desks are uncomfortable. Like,
dude, didn't they have some... I fall asleep all the time. Like, I can fall asleep so easily. So it was very easy for me.
When I took the LSAT, which is, like, I don't know if they have it in the States, they probably do. The LSAT is the test you take to get into law school. And when I took it, it's a six-hour test, and they give you breaks in between. But I remember my neck actually stiffened into one position because I was holding it in such an unnatural way for so long. And that test was the worst, like, because it was like, if you have five heads in a window and you have 12 combinations of hats and scarves that you can do, like, how many combinations of hats and scarves do you need for this window display? And I'm like, who the fuck cares? I'm trying to get into law school and not plan a window display. But I ended up getting, like, I had the worst score on my practice LSAT, but I ended up getting, like, don't remember. I think I scored, like, about average, but it was still pretty good. I got into law school on the basis of my essay, so, like, yay for me, because I suck at standardized testing. And I just looked it up. So, in Manitoba, at the time when I was going to school, in grade 12, we have provincial exams in English language arts, applied math, essential math, and pre-cal math. So the only one I did, I think, the only one I didn't do was pre-cal because I wasn't offered it. But I did do the essential math, which I was okay at because I really like that. That's what they call consumer math, like, so, like, taxes and shit like that. Applied math was a little bit harder. ELA, of course, I killed. English was always my best course.
Right.
So there's a scene where Will and Carlton are preparing for test day, and Will comes in singing the song Aiko Aiko. I don't know if you know the song, but the song was made famous by the Dixie Cups, who had learned the song from their grandmother, who used to sing it when they were young. So the song is about a parade collision during Mardi Gras between two tribes of Mardi Gras Indians. So on Mardi Gras 1885, 50 to 60 Plains Indians marched in their regalia on the streets of New Orleans. And later that year, it's believed the first Mardi Gras Indian gang was formed. The tribe was named the Creole Wild West and most likely was composed of members of Buffalo Bill's Wild West shows. Although the Indian gangs might predate their appearance in the city. So back in the day, during the Civil War, hundreds of freed slaves joined the 9th Cavalry Regiment known as the Buffalo Soldiers. And so these Buffalo Soldiers fought, killed, forced, and aided the mass removal and relocation of Plains Indians on the western frontier. And so after returning to New Orleans, many of these soldiers joined popular Wild West shows, most notably Buffalo Bill's Wild West. So they were influenced by what they were seeing when they were interacting with the natives there. So it's like, it was really weird because I didn't know about that. And I was like, because I love Iko Iko. That's a really good song. And like, it was really weird to see, like, I was just watching videos on Grindr's YouTube page about these black men that were LGBT. And they're talking about the first time they've ever experienced racism. And there was a line one of the people said where they were talking about, how could anybody whose struggle is linear to mine ever do something like that? And I'm like, yeah, like, this is what it reminded me of. Because I'm like, well, no, like, they were just, I don't want to say they were just doing what they were told. But I'm like, yeah, that's always been the case where, like, struggle is often something shared by two people. So, but it was pretty cool to learn that, like, how regalia, native regalia influenced Mardi Gras even to this day.
Right. Well, and like, that was the thing. It's like, I think we talked about it on the Patreon episode about having like a conversation with you about Apache too. Like, cause just the relations.
Who's the band again? Boney M?
Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh, okay. Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah. And yeah, we were just talking about, you know, like, it's such a weird thing when you think of, like, black and indigenous relations in this country and kind of, like, the pitting. Like, when you talk about the story of the Buffalo Soldier with the Plains Natives. When you talk about just, like, the pitting, you know, kind of two races against each other, which is, like, we have a shared struggle. And it's always been so weird to me. It's one of the things that's always been, like, frustrating to me.
Well, it's not a big plot point, but it's a small plot point in the Will Smith movie Wild Wild West, because there's a scene where he reveals that he used to be a slave, but he ran away as soon as he could, and he was raised by a group of Indians who took him in. And there's a scene where, like, Artemis Gordon, I don't know why I know the kid names of the characters in this movie, but there's a scene where Artemis Gordon asks him if he ever sees his family again. And he finds out that they were at a freed town that the villain used this target practice. So it's like, it's really cool that they included that, because there has been a lot of adoptees of African descent into native tribes. I don't know if you've heard of this, but there was a boy who was raised in a native community who was taking part in a basketball tournament out in BC, who was kicked from the tournament because he wasn't Indigenous. But then there was this big conversation about, well, he's Indigenous because he grew up with us. He grew up in the community. So even though he doesn't have Indigenous blood, he's a part of our community, so he is native. And it's a big thing that's going on right now. There's a filmmaker named Michelle Latimer here in Canada who was recently outed as not being Indigenous. And so it's a big thing about, like, because people are saying, well, she has Indigenous ancestors, but Indigenous ancestry does not make you Indigenous. Community does. But people are like, well, what about people who were adopted out? And I'm like, no, they are Indigenous because they were stolen. Like, there's a difference, people. Like, so.
Right.
But I could talk about this forever. But yeah, like, it's something that is really important to me, because I can never understand racism from a person of color towards another person of color.
Right. And I think it's something that we're seeing right now in America, especially with the There's a basketball player, Kyrie Irving, who, like, is it's his own thing, and I have a lot of problems with what Kyrie says and does. But he's been very much like he's been very much on the forefront of a lot of the issues having to deal with the pipeline, the Dakota Pipeline.
Yeah.
But it turns out, like, his mother is.
Oh yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. His mom is one of the people there.
Right. So his mother's indigenous, but, like, he kind of never grew up around indigenous. Like, but it's something that he feels very. It's one of a weird thing. Like, he feels very impassioned about, which is something I'll never slam him on. But it also seems like it's a convenient thing. Also, he's a flat earther, so it's, like, one of those, like, weird things where it's just, like...
Like, two steps forward, one step back. It's like, I believe you, but so it's, like,
It's a whole thing with him.
It's, like, yeah, I'm with you about the Dakota Access Pipeline, but the whole flat earth thing, dude, I don't know. But I do love the little scene of, in here, where Will's skipping rope with Aunt Viv. I thought that was super cute. And I love the scene where Uncle Phil sweetly gives Carlton his old Princeton sweatshirt.
Right.
I thought that was really adorable, even though it's obviously, like, about maybe six sizes too big for Carlton.
It's like five sizes too big for Uncle Phil.
Yeah. I think it's like a...
And it doesn't even make sense, because, like, we're going to get to an episode this season where they show, like, a young Uncle Phil...
And he was skinny,
He was skinny, and I was just like, this makes no sense.
But it's just, like, for comedy purposes.
No, absolutely. They
do it again, too, when they show Uncle Phil's Princeton hat, and Carlton puts it on, and it's way too big for him. It's just like, this is the start, this is more of the start into, like, the fat jokes regarding Uncle Phil, which tend to be pretty funny, even though if they are a bit fatophobic. But right. I also love the little family touches in this episode. They're very, very cute. The B story of this episode focuses on Jeffrey wanting a raise, which he doesn't get, and he decides to quit. Mm-hmm. Hillary telling the story to the family of him leaving is adorable because it's obviously colored and it's, like, rose colored to her because she, like, is just thinking about him. Like, he has a little tear in his eyes. He turned to look at the house, and then Will gives the realism of what actually happened, where when he was waving, he was actually flipping the bird at the house.
So, right.
I just saw that. It's like, because he was telling Ashley, you're a little too young to know what he was waving. back to the PSAT. So Will ends up getting a score a percentile higher than Carlton, which devastates Carlton. So Carlton goes nuts when his position as the family nerd is threatened. So have you ever had this happen where you, like, where something you were good at is suddenly not usurped, but, like, you know what I mean?
Like my family member? Nope. Because the something I was good at, I was always, like I'm just, like that, I'm not an applier, right? And, like, that makes me sound so, what's it called? That makes me sound so, like, over the top, right? Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm good at all. But, like, I was always, like, the smarter one just because, like I said, testing just came natural to me. And I'm just easier to retain knowledge.
So you're like a Will,
yeah. Yeah. So I was just never, like, came in and do it. And that was actually frustrating. That would frustrate for members of my family because I'm notoriously really bad at homework. I think homework sucks. I don't think it actually helps with
anything. Down with homework. He's wearing a shirt.
I'm not a huge fan of homework. So I would never do any homework or study, and I would do good, and that would frustrate people because they're like, how do you know? It's like, I just kind of know. And that's how I feel like schooling should be. Like, if you know, you know. Like, that's why I agree with you on standardized tests because, like, if you know, you don't need to do standardized tests, right? You just kind of know.
I'm the complete opposite. Like, if I think it probably has to do before anybody, like, hears it on the street, I was recently diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, and and which is weird because it usually sounds sexy when people say that they have it, because like Winona Ryder had it in Girl Interrupted, but in me it just manifests as a really hyper fixation on the things I enjoy, so it kind of makes me a little bit autistic in that sense. But like as a kid, all of my interests were things that I excelled at, like so writing, reading, computer work, typing, what else, essential math, which was just like taxes and stuff, but like everything, if I sucked at it, I didn't see a reason to do it because it was a waste of time to me. And so I think I do fit into that idea with Will about certain things. Like, if it's not interesting to me, I didn't see the point. And so, like, I think you and I specifically are two of those kids who are, like, gifted but lazy. That's yes. what we are, yeah. Yes.
Well, it's something like, as I've grown older, I just realized I have ADHD. And that's kind of the thing.
That's the same thing with me, because it's like I am mad obsessed with video games. Like, and I'm playing Spider-Man right now. I got it for my birthday, and I am hyper focused on getting his backpacks. Like, I want 100% completion on getting his backpacks. That's all. Like, at the detriment of the storytelling, I'm like, oh no, I gotta get these backpacks. Oh no, I gotta like turn on the satellite dishes. Oh no, like sort of stuff like that. And like, but it's, I don't find, like, I think school is just a terrible place in general. Like, I never had a good time in school. Like, I think we've spoken about this before. And we haven't recorded it yet, but there's an episode about bullying we're gonna do. And that's totally going to hit me where I live, because, like, I was bullied when I was a kid. And school just holds so many negative memories for me. And specifically this episode regarding standardized tests, I'm like, I don't know how people in America live where their whole life is decided by one exam. Like, how do you deal with that? That's terrifying.
To me, it's always like, it's really weird, too, because standardized tests actually became more of a prevalent thing during the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it became tied to a lot of teachers' pensions. That's when people started going through. It's more of, like, trying to equate yourself to, like, the, like, trying to equate your teaching to, like, overseas. Their whole thing was, like, oh, we're going to be like China and try to get, you know, our students, like, our math and studies. But to me, that's not, like, the point of learning is learning. Like, being able to recite information doesn't fucking mean anything. Like, being able to learn and apply what you use is what's important. And I've always just looked at the act of schooling as kind of, like, just a lot, and we should kind of restructure how we do it just in general.
Yeah, exactly. Not that we're saying, like, structured education is wrong. My friend was in a Montessori school, and he didn't know how to read until he was, like, in 8 years old or something. So it's like, some structure is good, but realizing that this one-size-fits-all thing might not be good for everybody, because it leaves people behind, and it makes people feel that learning is not fun. If that makes sense. And there's this thing I hate where people will criticize little kids who are reading, but they're reading the wrong type of content. They're like, oh yeah, don't read manga, read this. Don't read graphic novels, read this. Like, and it's stupid, because I'm like, just let them read what they want. Like, they're learning. And, but yeah, like, in this scene, during a pop quiz, Carlton stresses out and cheats off of Will. Where Carlton is imagining Will as a surgeon, a judge, and Barack Obama married to Barbara Bush. And I'm just like, because I don't know why he, well, I guess because he's based his whole life on testing and stuff like that, but I don't understand how you can be so stressed out by a test that he probably knows the answers to. I think he's just getting stressed out.
Yeah, I do think there is a thing about, you know, wanting to prove your ability, especially in Black communities, especially like for bright black people, they have a huge thing. Like, if you talk to a lot of really smart Black women or really smart Black men who actually like paid attention or cared about schooling, like, you'll notice, like, they'll say, like, well, I never got anything lower than a, you know, a C. Like, my dad very famously told me, like, he's like, oh, yeah, the lowest, like, grade I got in school was, like, a B. Because, like, there's that overdrive. So, like, it's the reason why, like, so I did that, like, I did my ACT, and I didn't feel anything nervous about it. To me, it was, just, like I said, it was just another test. And I just was, I literally, I'm going to tell you the dirty truth, I didn't care if I failed it, just because of, like, it's a test. Like, it's not going to put any onuses, like, am I smart or not? And like I said, I got 23. My cousin, who got way better grades than I did, like, very frequently got lower scores on it. Like, would get, like, I think he took it, like, three or four times. You could take it multiple times. I think he got, like, the highest he got was, like, an 18
on it. Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it sucks. It's a bummer. But, like, I also, I don't know. Like, I just, it was a weird thing to me because, like, we put so much emphasis on it. And like you said, like, it honestly doesn't matter.
Yeah, because, like, I am a huge, like, I love physics, but I was never good at it, applying it in a testing format. So I remember one year when I was in high school, I studied for a month and a half for physics, our physics final, and I scored just enough to pass the course. And my teacher was sneering at me, saying, like, I thought you studied for this. And I'm like, I did. I just have a really difficult time conceptualizing the concepts in this class. I love physics and I think it's amazing, but it doesn't make sense to me. So, and there's magic in that to me. And so, like, I think I just had a lot of terrible teachers growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I remember all the good ones, but I distinctly remember all the terrible ones who made me think that I was the problem, when it really was, like, the school that sucks. Yeah. I say it. But speaking of students, I like that this season we start to see more Black students at Bel Air Academy as extras. I really, really appreciate that touch. I also love how Will and Carlton are becoming brothers. You see it more here, because there's a bit where Carlton asks Will, well, what's in it for him, when Will tells him he'll help him. And there's this cute line where Will says, until someone tells me otherwise, we're cousins. And I thought that was really, really cute. Because, like, I think this relationship means more to Will than it does to Carlton right now. And I really like that. Like, I think it means more than Will is willing to admit, that he likes having a brother.
Yeah. I do think that's what's called. I do think that's very important, like you said.
Well, and all this growth is coming out of this show so fast. Like, I think I mention it later here, but, like, there's little bits in this show that show a deeper history of the relationships of these characters. Like, you see it in their interactions with each other, and I really, really love that. Because you feel like Will and Carlton have known each other for a very long time. You feel that, and you believe it. Like, even if you've only seen, like, four episodes of the show. And so there's this, it's just really cool to me, and I love that. Like, because they're bickering like siblings.
Right.
And Will is a part of their family now. He's not a cousin visiting. He's a part of their family. And I just love that.
No, and I think that's one of the things, like, we talked about in the first episode, this whole season is about the growth of Will. And I think, like, Will integrating with this family, and then, you know, in the episode we did previously with Nikki, you know, him realizing it's okay to be a member of this family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I think it's very important to be at that point.
Yeah, because he's not visiting anymore.
Right.
He's living there. That's what I like about it. And, but Coach Smiley has my favorite part of this episode. He becomes my white dude of the month when he comes in to, with Will and Carlton and says, to their headmaster, I went through 4 years of school on a football scholarship with honors, so I know a thing or two about cheating. So I was like, oh, man, you're just straight up admitting to it. I really love that guy's honesty. So he's my white dude of the month.
Right.
So the scene of the parents telling off Will and Carlton is, like, so lived in and real. I just, like, I love that scene. Because I love the bit where Uncle Phil tells the boys not to look at him, while Aunt Viv tells them to look at her when she's talking to them. it's really cool. I just love that. And the way they're sitting together, where they're sitting so close to each other, like they're ready to stand together against their parents.
Right.
The little unconsciousness of that is just very cute to me. Because it's like they are, like, when Uncle Phil asks them how they should be punished, and Carlton is like volunteering a suggestion, Will hits him and says, like, don't fall for that. Like, so it's just, like, it's just really cute. Like, whenever Will and Carlton get in trouble, which is a lot this season, I love whenever they sit on the couch and have to listen to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv yell at them.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it to me, that's always very stressful because, like, I've been there at a point where you're in trouble and, like, it's just like, it's always like a frustration of they're just like, there's so much we want to yell at you about, but you don't know which one we're going to yell at you about. Like, it's very frustrating at that. And I've definitely been there.
I am such a goody two shoes. I've never been in trouble.
Must be nice.
I was like, I think I'm like the Ashley Banks, like I'm the sweet one, like I'm never getting in trouble sort of thing. And mostly because like when my father gets angry, I'm terrified of him. Like, because he never, very rarely gets angry. And when he does, it's horrifying. Like, my mom would yell at me a lot. Like, the only time I ever got, like, I never got into serious trouble, but I got into trouble for, like, playing in the house when I shouldn't and that sort of thing. And so my mom yelling at me isn't that big of a deal. But my dad freaking out, like, he gets to be Uncle Phil type levels of,
scary.
Levels of rage and scary, yeah. And one scene I really like of Will and Carlton's acting, Alfonso and Will's acting, is there's a scene where they're trying to get past Uncle Phil, who's not moving, and they're trying not to get close to him, but they have to the way the couch and Uncle Phil are in the scene. So they're both fighting over who gets to go first, and they're both, like, pressing against the couch as far back as they can. And it is so funny to me. And I'm just like, I've done that before. Like, where you just don't, like, he's just watching them go and, like, they're trying to fight each other so that each of them is shielding the other from Uncle Phil. Oh, right. It was just beautiful. Like, total teenagers. I loved it.
Yeah. Like I said, I think especially some episodes that last season, they don't feel like kids. What I love about it is, like, they felt like kids this episode.
Like a bunch of dumbasses, yeah. That's one of my favorite things. Because, like, they are idiots this episode. And I love the hijinks that like, this is the start of the hijinks they'll start getting into as a team. And, like, in the reunion special when we talked about it, like, this feels like the friendship of Alfonso and Will more than, this feels like the birth of a friendship between Alfonso and Will that comes to Will and Carlton. And I think that's a great bonus for the show.
Right. No, definitely.
But I wanted to mention too, I love the relationship between Hillary and Jeffrey this episode. So, as I said, there's little bits of this show that show a deeper history, and their relationship is one of them. So, later in the season, we find out that Jeffrey had a hand in raising Hillary, as he's been around a very long time to see her growing up. And I think her missing him, like, even though she's spoiled and, like, she relies on him for a lot of things, she does really miss him, and she's the first person to hug him when he comes in. And I really, really love that. Like, because he's been in her life, like, her whole life. Like, we see that episode later in the season. I think it's this season where when they move out of the, basically the projects to move to Bel Air. And, like, she's 9-ish. Like, let's say 9 or 10. So she grows up with Jeffrey. And it's like she's Ashley's age when she meets Jeffrey for the first time, we can assume. And, like, she values her relationship with him. And I really love that, even though she's spoiled. But I think it's more like a dad situation where it's like she's a spoiled little daddy's girl. But there's no maliciousness in it.
Right.
And I just love that. And I just love how Jeffrey is eager to hug Ashley and Hillary, too. Like, he doesn't, like, shy away from that. Because he missed them, too.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And he just wants Philip to apologize for taking him for granted.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, we're going to see more of Jeffrey and Hillary's relationship. But I think it's stuff like that does make it important that Jeffrey isn't just the help. Mm-hmm. He's part of the, what's it called? He's part of the family just as well. And I think that was very important to kind of see those those roots in there.
Yeah, and it's very sweet. Like, you see that he has a closer relationship to the women in the family, like to Vivian, to Ashley, to Hillary, and he has more of like a dad, uncle type relationship with Phil and Carlton and Will. Like, there's a scene in the next season, I think, where Jeffrey is helping Uncle Phil hunt a cricket that's in the house, keeping everybody awake. Right. And they team up. It's one of my favorite things, because I in any other show, Jeffrey wouldn't live at the house. In any other show, like, and he lives at the house here, and he's allowed to be sassy with them. He's allowed to be mean. He's allowed to tease them, and I love that. Like, I think that's what makes the show so great, is that Jeffrey is not their butler. He's their friend and their family member too, who just happens to clean up after them.
Right. So. He's a worker, but he's not. You know, like, it's one of the things. Like, they definitely make a point of like, hey, you know, he works for us. We have to make sure, like, his rights matter, but, like, at the end of the day, he also, like, it's a little bit more. It's, like, that weird work-life balance. And he does, and I do like in this show, they do make a point to show, like, he does have a work-life balance. It isn't just, like, oh, hey, I'm just going to be doing this. It's like, no, I'm going to take days off. I'm going to not work on the weekends. Like,
I'm going to do other things, like have other interests and friends and stuff like that. Like, right. There's an episode later this season where he goes on dates. And he, is just, like, having a, where Will helps him with his social life. And it's just really sweet. Like, I'm glad that they're, like, fully fleshing everybody out for the betterment of this episode. Because in any other show, Jeffrey would just be somebody on the sidelines. But he has an important role here, and I just love that.
But that would be it for this episode. It's a... Like I said, I think this one is a little bit of a... It's a shorter one, especially for analytical side. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a very fun one, and it's kind of, like, emblematic of what we're going to see this season.
And yeah, it's just a character-driven thing. It's, like, really cute. I just love it.
And definitely see kind of, like, the interactions between Will and Carlton, which, like, that becomes the show. And I think they talked about it in the special where they thought that the conversation was going to be Will and Phil... But we see, is like, no, the show, like, the key thing about the show is Will and Carlton and how they interact. I think that's one of the more important things about this show.
Well, not that the show isn't about his relationship with Uncle Phil, but, like, it's not like a fish out of water thing. It's more of a, this is how this family interacts.
Right.
And that's what makes it funny. That's what makes it... enjoyable, is to see them love each other despite the stupid hijinks they get into, where they accidentally electrocute Jeffrey in one episode, or like when they it's just fun to me. Like, I love Jeffrey and I love his relationship with the family, and there are episodes where Uncle Phil and Will are at odds, but it's more about Uncle Phil as his father rather than just like somebody he sees himself in.
No, it was just a really great episode. It was a really good episode. So, Sonia, what is there anything that you would like to plug?
Just my Twitter as usual, honey_child for the horny side, Sonia Ballantyne for the business side, Sonia_Ballantyne on Instagram, and Sonia Ballantyne on Facebook. We sound kind of snobby when we say we're not taking friend requests on Facebook anymore, but I think that's because we keep it small and low key there.
You really don't want to be my friend on Facebook. Like,
friend
on Facebook. It is better for you to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, and so that's what because me and TL are friends on Twitter, or friends with Facebook as well, but like after we started this podcast and after I became a bigger person in the LTC, the Laser Time community, like I didn't want, like the only people I add are people I interact with a lot. And like if I know you're from the LTC, sometimes I will add you, but sometimes I won't, just because I have had a lot of I did have a very negative experience on the LTC a few months back, and so it's just like I want to keep certain parts of my life private. And yeah. Twitter is where I'm having fun anyway, so like come and watch me there.
Yeah, and like you don't need to know about my niece or anything. Like there's like
who is just, so like, beautiful. I love her.
but like there's just stuff like there is at the end of the day we are, you know, performing for a show, right? We're performing for you guys. And there are some stuff that as performers we want to bring you in, and this show is a very personal show, but like also like we don't all kick it like that. And that's fine. We don't have to. Like, we try to make sure that we do interact with you guys as, you know, as fans. But, like, sometimes your personal life just has to be your personal life. You don't have to know everything that's going on with us, like, that we don't want to share into you. And, like, odds are, if we're going to share it to you, Twitter is going to be fine. That's where we put it out at. I promise you, if you want to find more about me, it's easier just to follow me on Twitter than it is to follow me on Facebook. I promise you.
Yeah, Facebook is where I curate for my parents. So.
Exactly. Look, yeah. there's a lot that I will go buck wild and say on Twitter that I will not say on Facebook because I just don't feel like having that conversation with my parents.
Yeah, I just posted some pictures I took at a boudoir photo shoot on Facebook that I did not show my parents. So I'm imagining that's gonna come up in tonight's phone call with my parents. So the more you know.
You can follow me on Twitter at Travis L. Foster. You can follow me on Instagram at Turbo Bison. You can go to my fan page on Twitter at TL Foster. You can follow the show at Pool House Live on Twitter. We have so many great guests, like you guys have already heard. We've had Nikki, we've had the gang over at Grizzly Deadass Girls on, and yeah, so we are gonna have some really great guests coming up this year. This is gonna be really fun. I just reached out to some other people. And very excited about that. So, this is going to be, like I said, this season is going to be a really good season. And I know the thinking is, once we get done with this season, because there's 24 episodes, that's 24 weeks. So, that's just about, what, is that
summer?
Is that 6 months?
I think roughly, yeah.
Yeah. So, what we'll more than likely do, if we do another break like we did before, it won't be as prolonged. Well, it was only a month. Like, we might do that where we just take, like, a break for the month. But it just depends, like, how we get everything rolling and if we do more stuff on our back end and Patreon. I do like doing it seasonally and giving us a break. One, because it's good for us to get a break sometimes and not think about Fresh Prince. But two, it also gives you, the fans, time to take a breather.
Yeah.
Right, take a breather, like, reflect on the episode that we watched. Also, like, show your friends. One of the things I did see is a lot of our episode views went up because, like, you got a chance to share the episodes that you love with your friends and family, and it got somebody new to check it out. So that is my goal, is to do that. We can share it to more people. We can bring more people. We can get more people to show their love and their joy. And also, it's something we never do. We never say, if you could, on your podcast app of choosing, please like and rate us. Like, rate us and review us, okay? That's the best way for us to get traction. That's the best way for us to get any kind of headway.
Yeah.
Get new listeners and get new people into the Pool House. So that's kind of it. Sonia, do you have anything else?
No, just, like, follow us on Patreon. Like, give us some money there. We want to do a series on Star Wars, like, for Patreon. So let us know if that's something you'd want to hear. Or if you want to hear us talk about, like, High School Musical or Phantom of the Opera. I don't know if TL has seen that. We probably can watch it. Like, we can talk all night about various things. So let us know what you want to hear.
All right. But first, when you're about time, I am TL Foster. This is been live from the Pool House. Don't get thrown out like jazz.